Again, now.
Okay, the meeting's been called to order at 6:02. Those in attendance are Yvonne Nass.
Dwayne Sims.
Neela Duckworth.
Kiara Panulovek.
Chanda Gilmore.
Beth Carter.
Ryan Cullen.
Courtney Fox.
Jed Donahue.
And our guest, Liz Madden. Okay, the first thing on our agenda is the approval of the June 22nd minutes. Any corrections or additions?
I did want to apologize for misspelling your last name, Dwayne. And do you want me in there as Kiara Panula or Kiara Beck or Kiara Panulovek? I've never had this issue before with like names and everything, so I hate to be high maintenance about it.
What do you prefer?
I guess Kiara Beck is fine.
Kiara Beck.
Yeah.
Okay, so just from now on?
Yeah, totally. And there are a few typos in the second to last paragraph. I don't think it's that big of a deal. There, T-H-E-R-I instead of T-H-E-R-E. Oh, so there.
Oh, okay, I see it.
And then no voting.
Corrections are needed.
I'm done for the night.
Any other corrections or additions to the minutes? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Minutes are accepted as corrected. Angela Angini has joined us. Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
We are glad you're here.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Here we go. Finance report. Dwayne.
Good evening, everybody. So I want to try something a little different this time. So everyone's received, obviously, the package with the finance reporting. I think I'd like to start to open up if there are any questions. So first and foremost, before I jump into just the overall narrative. And if not, that's fine, right? I mean, I think we've been doing this now. We're at the end of the year, so the budget doesn't change much. But I did want to try something just a little different, considering that. If there are no questions, though, comments, or concerns, I'll just kind of walk us through the narrative page in a high-level summary. So as you can see, we're at the June 30th reporting package. We are at 12 months, or 100% of the fiscal year. Quiet round of applause for that. Right? We made it to the end of the year. As you can see from revenues there, the final budgeted revenues are just over $6.7 million. During the month of June, I'll just go down to that bullet point because I think that's important. You'll see the breakout there from interest earned, cafeterias, donations, school activities, etc. Again, I think the overall theme, when you get this far down to the end of the year, the budget, no surprises really, right? I mean, we've been tracking this every month, and then obviously with our CBOC's diligent work as well, and then the Finance Committee, we pretty much went through this with a fine-tooth comb. So the expenses, as you can see, came in at just over $6 million. Expenses to date, by the way, that represents not, with no outstanding encumbrances, by the way, representing 89 or just under 90% of what we actually budgeted for the year. So you can see the difference between that 100 and 90, some good savings, right? excuse me. Year-end cash balance in general, as we see there, there was obviously the excluding now, it's a very important point, excluding the existing reserves of just over 300, just under $400,000. You see the actual budget was at 1.372. That does not include, obviously, the summer pay deferral and renovation reserves, those things that we continuously put to the side every year to account for unforeseen and hopefully not to see circumstances. So total cash at the end of the year, as you can see there, and I've got a nice big circle around it, just over $1.1 million, which is really good because if we actually look at what we anticipated for the year, we were looking at maybe coming in, you know, under that by a decent amount. So we had some savings, of course, as you go through your packet to see the the actuals, you'll begin to see that there are some savings and some overages, but obviously we have more savings than we did overages, right? So that creates a surplus there as well for us, which we then add to the overall bottom line of cash flow, right? So I think at the end of the day, I like to summarize it with saying that we are in very, very good fiscal health at this particular time. Our financials look really well. And of course, we're excited about all the things that come for the new year. We're at that point now, we're having deliberations. So looking forward, right? The upcoming budget for the new year. Obviously, we have state budget implications that may impact us one way or the other, but not necessarily as heavy as maybe some other schools, right? So I think for us, we just need to continue to keep our eye on the ball, continue to be conservative in our spending, and then continue to cultivate that culture of giving, and we'll be A-OK.
Questions, comments on our finance report? We are happy to say we're rolling over a nice amount to begin our next year. Congratulations to
everyone.
Yes. Good work.
Absolutely. I have one question, and this is, I mean, first of all, congratulations and thank you to the school leadership and CBOC and finance and everything. Just there is being overly cautious or prudent. Is there anything, I mean, we can talk about what's happening on the state level, but is there anything kind of you're seeing as committee, like coming down the road that might be, you know, potential hurdles or?
And we actually, at our last meeting, we worked with Karen on that.
Mm-hmm.
So Karen does all our business management. And she put together a list of potential variables,
mm-hmm.
And risk assessment kind of piece for us,
right.
And just sent it to us. So that'll be something that we'll bring to the committee next week and review. But we have, it's exactly what kind of our next step is,
mm-hmm.
is to kind of look at all of those kind of pieces and say, like, all right, if all of these fall out, what does this look like?
Yeah. So I ask only because everything looks so good. Yeah. So it's like, you know.
That's a very good question.
We're preparing, Jed.
Yeah. Yeah. We're constantly preparing. I think that's the
constantly
piece of
preparing. And we have, so it's not a new thing for this board. From the beginning, we have always prepared in advance as we looked at our budget.
And the results show it.
So, but that is a really good question.
Yeah, it was actually the last question from our finance meeting.
Yeah.
What were the assumptions that we can look for revenue-driven, plus or minus side expense around, looking ahead, right? Not just 1 year ahead, but obviously.
So what could go wrong?
Yeah. You take one at a time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
I do have one follow-up question.
Yes, sir.
Now that June 30th has come and gone, do we have a better understanding of what state budget changes might be?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think a little bit better than we did before, right? But it's still up in the air. I think refer to coordinating.
I mean, there was a $26 million
across
the board. Everybody took a share of that. Our share of that comes right out of our main appropriation line. Off the top of my head, I would guess it was around a $60,000, $70,000 cut. There are conversations about if that's the end of the cuts or not. So we don't know potentially what happens in a couple months, that there could be another shifting. I think the way that it was left was that if they need to come back and ask for more, there's a potential that they could do that. But that's where we are now. And that's all accounted for in our next year's budget and our future budgets as well. So we've accounted for all of those potential pieces in there as well.
And just so you know where to find that, what we're talking about on the spreadsheet, if you go to your second page, First State Montessori Academy, right, 12-month actuals underneath the revenues, the very first line, state appropriation operation, right? So that, and I point that out really just to highlight, there are a lot of schools who are taking a much greater hit of that $26 million, for lack of a better articulate language. But as you can see, $60,000 in the context of what we're bringing in from an appropriation standpoint, I think we're well positioned to shoulder it.
Okay, any other questions, comments? May I have a motion to accept the finance report?
So moved.
I'll make a motion to accept the finance report.
It's been moved by Jed Donahue. Will Beth Carter second?
Yes, I will second.
Finance report has been accepted. We've been joined by Gina Castelli, Janine Solomon, and Aubrea.
Vance Phillips.
Vance Phillips.
Okay. Okay. The next thing on our agenda, the governance, their minutes are attached. They made a recommendation for a parent orientation on Meet the Teacher Night. Beth, you want to speak to that?
Yeah, so it was pretty much, we just, you know, I tell you, the information that we get at Meet the Teacher Night is amazing. It was really nice with the separation of the PTO and the availability and the ask for help and volunteers and information as well as transportation information. I think what was a little bit challenging as a relatively new parent was when you actually meet the teacher near the classroom, and you know you can't go into the classroom at that point, but it's a little stressful when the child becomes a distraction, I think is what happens. And I think it would be a nice opportunity to maybe separate the child so that the parents kind of have an opportunity to kind of open up, because you want to have some more conversations, or you may have some more questions, but then suddenly the minute you do, then somebody's kind of tugging at you and you kind of get distracted. I think that's the piece that I would kind of like to see. Or you know, we as a committee talked about, not just me. So that's kind of where we were on that. Yeah. What does anybody think? Is that just?
I think, I mean, don't we have information sessions almost right at the beginning of the year, which really do formalize that piece, I think. I'm having a hard time seeing it together as one night, because I think that it's important for the children to come in and meet their teachers and take a look and peer in the classroom. I agree with you on the piece of if you're not familiar with Montessori, that, you know, I remember the first or the second year back and my girls coming in to meet the teacher night, a parent behind me said, looked in the classroom and said, "Where are the desks?" So when you're not familiar, it is a big shock and they do have lots of questions. I agree with that. What I'm having trouble with is seeing it as one night where you're trying to meet the teachers with the kids and have an information session for parents. I don't know if there's a way to have an information session prior to school opening.
Well, I think, yeah, and that's what we didn't want to do, Lord knows, not adding.
Right, adding, exactly. No, I understand that too.
You know, for sure, but just if a way, if for, you know, not a long period of time, maybe 15 minutes where the kids are able or encouraged to, hey, you know what, let's go play somewhere and let's just, you know, see if there's a possibility to have just, you know, a parent conversation without the children. It's kind of what we were thinking of. Gina?
I also feel like that could very easily turn into a parent-teacher conference. I'm not by any parent meaning for that to happen, but parents are so anxious at that point to make that really serious connection with their teacher, their child's teacher, and that's such an inappropriate time. Not inappropriate in a bad way, but teachers are overwhelmed, kids are overwhelmed, parents are overwhelmed, and teachers can't really do that in a purposeful, thought through way. But that's what I feel like would end up happening without the right environment for it to happen. And no. I think that it would, having been through parent-teacher nights for many years, I think that would probably end up happening and it would not be as successful as we might hope.
Gina, what are your thoughts on having, say, you know, us or someone facilitate the information that the parents are encouraged to participate with questions, but it's not an opportunity where, you know, they are able to, you know, directly converse with, you know, each teacher, you know, just more of a overview of, you know, for example, the car line. I mean, just some things that.
And Liz do that.
At open house.
That's the point. Can we just back it up for a minute? How many events do we have leading up to the school year and the beginning of September? It's like three or four, right?
I mean, there's the playground playdates that are happening.
Right, okay, so those are just sort of like kids right. can meet each other, community. Parents, right? So they happen right before. Mm-hmm. Then there's meet the teacher.
And
then
open house is information, yeah.
Okay, so.
But wouldn't the open house be the place
yeah.
for what you're talking about?
And it happened there.
Yeah, I mean, I think we go back to the purpose of Meet the Teacher. It's for kids, actually.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily
for parents. It's like sneak a peek, right?
Yeah, is that what? Know, it's trying to acclimate them, to make them comfortable, to help parents feel comfortable bringing their kids in that first day or putting them on the bus the first day. It's a chance for them to meet a teacher, to see a familiar face. It's also a chance for us to give information that people need about how the first day is going to function. So we give we actually revised a family handbook this year that has all of the procedures in one place so that we can give everybody all of that car line, lunch ordering, that it's all in one real big packet now. It's tricky because it's not necessarily meant to be a presentation period. It's really meant to be casual and low-key, and it's meant to focus on kids.
I guess I'm trying to figure out when the presentation piece is, because the open house isn't really when's the presentation piece in the open house?
Teachers do a 45-minute presentation, and Liz and I do a 45-minute presentation.
In each individual classroom? Mm-hmm.
By grade level, we give a presentation.
Right, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the overall. How does my Montessori overall and things, I'm not talking at the individual mm-hmm. level, which I think that yeah, you definitely want to have that. And I think that's the piece that, I don't know.
I want to just speak to, I had a parent who I knew whose child came in the first year last year, and my children were in Montessori before, but she got a report card and she fell apart, because she didn't understand, how that, so just having an opportunity for parents who aren't familiar with Montessori, and keeping in mind that all parents aren't able to come out every single time we have something, that having an opportunity to have like a 10-minute or 15-minute overview of what Montessori is and what they can expect, I don't know if that's the appropriate time to have it, but at some point,
and not in the classroom, say in the gym, have somebody, and not the teachers. The teachers are doing what they're doing, kids, but yeah. A place where the parents can go, whether it's you, whether it's Yvonne, whether it's another board member, sort of saying, giving those who are not familiar, everyone's not going to, if you've had three kids in for 5 years, you don't need it. But I think there are a lot of, my kid was in a Montessori school before, so I understood things, but I had the same experience talking to parents who are like, what is this place? And we don't want those parents to walk in and not have confidence from day one about what's going on. And I do think that there is a big difference between, we give a lot of written information and we're really good about giving written information, but I think there's something to be said to have a human there to answer the questions in real time, to kind of broad strokes go over that information, because as Gina said, it's kind of overwhelming, and I think putting a human face in that, and the reason I like Meet the Teacher is because almost every parent makes sure they get to meet the teacher because it's so important to the kid.
Right.
So if we can kind of fit something in for the parent there, it's a bonus.
Excuse me, but how did you choose this school without having that information? The info session is an hour and a half packed with, this is Montessori. Make sure you understand that before you choose this school. Here's what happens in a Montessori classroom. All of those steps. So maybe that's where the disconnect is, because that's one of the things that is an opportunity when you're making a choice for your child. Maybe that's where the disconnect might be, that you would have thought that a parent coming here has already familiarized themselves with that and attended an info session before they came here. In order,
literature about right, and one, that's the assumption, because given that we're a charter school and people in the state might want to rather put their kid in any charter school than go to their feeder, you will have parents who know nothing.
They're just checking a box.
Which we know that.
They hear it's one of the best.
They're going on
right.
Reputation. We heard that. But assuming that you have a parent that's taken the time to familiarize themselves with the Montessori method and what it's about. That's just one piece. That's not the us piece, right? There's an us piece that's special overlay to all of that.
And that's all in the info session too. That's where my disconnect is. So maybe it's a repeat of something like that is what you guys are asking for.
And if they came in January or so to do the info session, and then now we're talking about, at that point, they didn't know whether or not their child was getting in. They've heard it.
Three info sessions.
And so having kind of a brief refresher that's not required, but happening during a time when we know these parents are most likely to be there, I think would be helpful. Just a refresher, just so you remember the things that we talked about during that orientation session.
I think you could host, but I think you could certainly host.
We also have very well planned and executed teacher conferences.
Right.
I think, you know, I'm going to let you, Kyra. I've been seeing your hand, and I'm a teacher, so you have to go first.
So just in hearing everyone's input, I'm kind of role-playing me with my children, with the teachers in the school on that evening. Even if I had a question about why there are no desks or something, trying to find, even walking up to a table that is established, for example, for those just to have like a point person to bounce a question off, that chaos of that person explaining to me something really meaningful for my child and my ability to listen with my children running around with other children, that's not where I would want to discuss something that is meaningful to me. Mm-hmm. So what I'm envisioning is, whether it be a table with a box to like write your questions, because so you know how like on Facebook pages it says response time, like our response time I think is like above 100%. So I feel like we would be able to do that even with paper copies of FAQs or concerns, or maybe you went over this in your review but I totally forget because summer brain drain or whatever. And then we as a board can help answer those questions or something. So while I do feel we have several layers already in place to answer as many questions as possible, which will never be good enough because there are babies and it's never good enough, right? I do feel that just the energy for me to really hear what is being shared about my specific question, it's not the right place to obtain that information.
You said that beautifully, but you also then raised a thought, you know, maybe if after that evening you do have a specific question, maybe that you have the opportunity to write it down. Well, that would allow these guys to thoughtfully answer that.
Why can't we host a couple of coffee hours or something?
Well,
and then,
because
it's not for everybody. And we could have a coffee hour for new parents to come in and grandparents.
And I'm also happy to come as a board member and just float around. Yeah. If someone looks so confused, I'd be like, oh, honey, like, let me help you. Right? Like, what do you need? Yeah. You know what I mean? So we're like docents almost, kind of like helping orient. I mean, like however it needs to go, I just don't feel like a bricks and mortar kind of situation would be okay.
And so I'm hearing you guys say that parents are feeling like they need more information.
Well,
I think it's hypothetical.
I think kind of having the back to school night and everything, and as a parent, what happens is back to school night, teacher night is overwhelming and focused on your kids. Like, I'm meeting my teacher. And what sometimes happens, you get a question like that. Why isn't there any desk? And the teachers will ask that perfectly. But then I'm like, well, my daughter might need a desk. And maybe what we need is something, and throwing in this word, optional. And let them know there is an optional. And, you know, we have the two schools. I know there has to be an empty something, maybe, you know. Just say there is an optional 10-minute overview. And I'm no board. Like I already said, I'm free that night. I'm free that night to come. My children will be other places. So, and I feel all of us are comfortable because I'm looking at Courtney and Liz. I know you guys have 20 other things to do that night because you're going to clone yourselves and be in all those places. But I think just having an optional moment, if parents have, and giving it to the teachers, because teachers, they have all these students for these next 2 hours, and maybe they have more questions, saying, we'll have some board members, we'll have some teachers in the carousel room for the next hour if you need some more Montessori questions, if it's something like that. Let it be an option if parents have more questions.
Or we have based on having seventh graders sitting there answering questions.
We're making this decision based on having no data.
Yeah, it is.
We need to figure out if parents actually need this and want this. If they do, then we'll do something about it.
Well, I look at it this way. at the end of this past year, I mean, we still had board members asking what the parent director did, that parent families were asking board members questions that board members couldn't
answer. But what percentage of our population?
And our board members have been at all of those events.
Well, that's exactly right. So that's why I
their people aren't going to get it on the first.
It's true. But I think that it's an opportunity. We can explain the financial gap of charter schools. I mean, I don't know.
I'm going to weigh in with that quickly.